right, so the bells of the great sept of Baylor are ringing.
Ding, 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 ding.
Happy Christmas.
What is this? I was going to say, is this the holiday version?
The holiday version of what? Of Septim Ordain?
Well, I mean, that might be a whole nother topic to start discussing, but
right. You know, I've been pitching on Twitter this whole range of Ned Stark, you know, head decorations, like baubles for the tree and little bobbleheads with no head, and it's going to be great. It's in the spirit of Christmas.
Bobbleheads with no head?
Yes! That's sold separately.
Does any part of them bobble? That sounds so... I would not want to buy that.
That's the special thing.
It's not even funny. I guess that's the point.
That's the point.
What else could you decorate your Game of Thrones Christmas tree with?
Oh, entrails.
Entrails. Yes. Instead of garland, you have just the entrails. Yeah.
And, you know, like the...
Fishnet?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Of course.
Hello. That's how the Greyjoys celebrate Christmas. They just net a pine tree.
Yes.
But obviously up, what about north by the wall? All the men on the wall, the brave men of the Night's Watch.
I wonder if Santa can find them.
Maybe you put a White Walker or two up in the
tree? They're just their eyes because they shine
they're
like their
eyes. Light the tree.
Yes, there you go.
Yay, we got it.
Cut out White Walker eyes and have them light the tree. This is beautiful. This is obviously a great
true
way.
True goo Christmas. Know,
Christmas approaches. A true goo Christmas is upon us. And as we all knew, you know, we heard this ages ago. We've been saying it. Winter is coming. This is our first winter together, guys.
It is.
Aww. I wonder how long it'll last this time.
Ooh. My guess is 3 months.
Till spring?
Yeah, till spring.
Do you think all the kids in King's Landing are going to be upset now that Robert's dead? I mean... He definitely played Santa on that Iron Throne.
They thought he was Santa?
You know he did.
Yeah. But, you know, come on, Varys is there to pick up the slack.
Yes. Yes, Varys.
Varys might do a little something different with those kids, though.
I was
going to
say,
did.
It's not going to be a fun Christmas at King's Landing this year.
No.
God, what's wrong with us? I think Uncle Rey has corrupted our souls.
It's true. You know what, Zach's not here to keep us all in line? Because that's what he does, is he prevents us from saying things that would otherwise be offensive. And
Or he just cuts it out afterwards.
Yeah, that too. So he makes us look less perverse than we really are.
We have to travel lightly. We have to tread lightly, tread softly, and keep a quiet shadow, as they say.
Do they say that?
Sure. I'm not sure where they say that.
Melisandre doesn't say that.
But, I think you made that up.
Yeah, we're off to a good start here on this week's episode of Goo, of course. This is a fresh new week, and we are, you know, the winter is cometh. It's certainly cold here. Selena, how's the weather been by you?
Oh, we just had a snowstorm today, and I went outside in the snow.
Did you have, like...
I was queen of the north.
You were queen of the north.
Yes.
Nice. Did you build a snowman?
I did not.
Did you make snow angels?
But there were plenty of snowmen around that were creepy.
Creepy. Oh.
It was like a whole field of snowmen. It was really creepy. I was walking in the park, and then I looked to my right, and then just like in a field, there were like snowmen everywhere. And yes, it was terrifying.
So was it creepy? Because do you have a feeling like the snowmen were there?
Yeah.
And like that no children like ever put them there, that they were just there?
They just came out of the ground. It's like Children of the Corn, except
it's
snow.
They're going to march on your house in the middle of the night. So.
I know, that's what I'm afraid of.
We might not have you with us next week.
But Selena, you told me you did have soup. You managed to get some soup down?
I got some soup down, so I'm keeping the winter at bay. The chill from my bones.
That's really what you have to do. I think before we begin our book discussion, of course, we heard the bells of Septim Ordain earlier.
Septim Ordain.
Which come into play. Am I saying it wrong?
No, it's the Sept of Baylor, but Septim Ordain's bells, I'm sure, are pretty interesting, too. Septim Ordain is the woman. She might have very nice bells.
She might have bells.
You were talking about the Baylor's bells?
Yes.
The whole time? Okay.
Sept of Baylor. The bells are chiming.
So I will say before we continue that if you have an item that you wish to see added to the Game of Owns Christmas tree.
Oh, yes.
Whether it's baubles of Ned's head or nets or entrails instead of garland. If you have any other ideas, please send that to us either via Twitter at Game of Owns or by email. contact@gameofowns.com. And now we get into this week's, today's chapter, which is, of course, the Sansa chapter, following a very eventful Arya and previously Ned chapter that we read last week.
Yeah, she's the weak link of the three, I have to be honest with you. She's not as excited. So
by the time you got to this, you were just like, okay, time for a breath of, you know, exhaling oxygen.
I don't know. I don't agree, because I think that Sansa offers such a unique perspective because in the first book, she's so annoying. I mean, I know she gets better and I really enjoy her in later books, but in this one, it's just, you get all these men and all these children even who are so laid down with all this doom, and they seem to know that something really bad is about to happen, and it's all very depressing. Then you get to Sansa and she's like, oh, Jane Poole's really annoying, and like, I don't really know what I'm gonna wear today, and like, the queen hasn't spoken to me, and I'm really annoyed with all of it, and it's just, I like it. Was that your disgruntled noise, or did you just...
What happened?
No, I was putting the piece of fabric back onto the mic.
Oh.
It fell off. And so hopefully that, yes, that was my disgruntled voice, actually.
Okay. It's very appropriate.
For effect. But no, I agree with you. It's a different perspective, certainly. And it just shows the range of an author like George R. R. Martin to get in the head of a 13 or 14-year-old girl, which must be difficult for him. Certainly, and I think he's actually said in interviews that Sansa is one of the most difficult characters for him to write, just because to get inside the mind of a younger female is not an easy thing to do when you're a 60-plus-year-old man.
Yeah, you think, anyway.
But the biggest thing that I took away from this chapter is, in a way, Sansa is responsible for all the events that we've just read about in the last two chapters, because she went to the queen and she told on her father. Basically,
yeah,
she ratted him out.
She didn't know what she was doing, to be fair, right? I mean, when she said that she just didn't want to be taken away, I guess, I don't really know.
She was just being selfish. You know, she was being a 13-year-old girl. She was thinking about her own future with Joffrey, you know?
Yeah. I think part of the problem is she holds the queen in such high regard.
Yeah.
And she wants to do anything and everything to impress her because she's the mother of Joffrey. As Selena just pointed out. And I think she gets lost in that a lot of the time. Whereas as the books progress, and even as the chapters will progress in this book, her perspective changes drastically about the Lannisters as a whole. And so she didn't know what she was doing, but she unintentionally then set these events into action.
Right.
And now that Ned's been captured and Arya's on her own, Sansa really is the only one left in the castle with the rest of these people that she's going to have to put up with now for the foreseeable future.
You know, it is interesting what Sansa did, because as I was thinking about it, it made more sense. Like, Arya and Sansa, Arya is somebody who is a very, restless spirit until she finds, the sword fighting lessons with Cyro Pharrell. That has just come to an end, but she really had her niche. You know, she knew her destiny. She was going to be more adventurous, more boy-like, if you will. Sansa feels that her future is, with the queen, with Joffrey, at Joffrey's side. And so when she feels that that's about to be taken away, she goes to the queen, about it, because she doesn't want her future to be interrupted any more than Arya wanted hers to be interrupted. But I just think that it's so unfortunate, because now their father's in captivity, and she essentially gave the queen a timeline with which to work, the fact that Ned was going to retreat.
Yeah. I'm glad that we're being so reasonable about Sansa, though, because it's so easy to hate her, Like, when we were just about to start recording, one of the hypeable guys, Michael, I think that's how you say his name, he actually tweeted me, and he was like, but you can't hate Sansa because blah, 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 blah. It was very sweet. She has a lot of support, I think, because it's so easy to hate her.
Will you read the tweet?
Well, he just said, this is impossibly random, but I'm weirdly terrified that the next episode of Goo is going to be a hate fest on my poor girl Sansa. Cue internal wailing. All she gave Cersei was a timeline. So, yeah.
Well, that fits with what I just said.
Exactly.
I feel like I'd like this guy. Yeah, that's the thing you don't do to anybody who's plotting ill will on your family is give them the advantage of knowing when you're going to act. Or in Ned's case, really not act, because he did not want to seize the queen. He just simply wanted to get his family away safely. And unfortunately, that that won't be happening now.
Yeah.
But she didn't want to go. That's the whole point. You just brought it up. I mean, comparing Arya to Sansa, Arya can't wait to go back to Winterfell, whereas Sansa, she wants to be in King's Landing. She doesn't want to go anywhere else. And it's almost like when it's time to leave a friend's house, or you're staying with family that you really like and you don't want to go back and spend time at home, you do everything in your power to go to the person who you know might be able to fix that and beg and plead and do whatever you can. And that's kind of what Sansa did here in order to secure her place in King's Landing, not knowing what the adverse effects of that were going to be.
Yeah, and as you mentioned earlier, she just holds the queen in such high regard because she's the queen. She's elegant, you know, in that way that I think Lena Headey portrays her as being, you know, just grand, even though in reality she is this very damaged woman who does not really care for the welfare of the king. Let's just, I think it's safe to say that. And doesn't even really care for Sansa. Now, I wanted to talk about Sansa and the queen's relations, like, in this chapter. Because she, you know, she's controlling her. She's manipulating her.
Absolutely. And she knows that she can, because she's this impressionable 13, 14-year-old girl who's in awe of Cersei.
And I know that in the TV series, it's made clear, I think a little later on, probably in season two, especially when they're holed up. You know, in is it the Red Keep? Am I right about that?
Yes.
Oh my God, I'm awesome.
I just said yes. I have no idea if you're right.
Oh Jesus,
me
really?
No,
you're right. You're right.
No, because you know I have trouble remembering some of these things. But no, really, when they're holed up and Sansa and the Queen have several scenes where it's just, you know, the Queen confesses or appears to be, you know, tender to her about, oh, you remind me of myself, this, that, the other thing. So it's interesting, having seen the TV series first and then reading these sequences, or reading these, you know, scenes in the book, because you wonder how much they are the same characters, I guess. Like, if the Queen is going to similarly open up to Sansa in the future.
Right.
Yeah, I think you even got a little bit of that towards the end of the second season, when they were all, you know, is that what you're referring to, Eric?
Yeah.
Yeah, so when they're being attacked by Stannis, there's that very real moment in between the two of them where she basically tells them, or she tells Sansa exactly what's about to happen to her. But I feel like right now she's just playing her for a fool, and she's doing a great job of it. No? Yes? Maybe?
Yes. She has all the power.
So at the beginning of the chapter, though, there's this discussion between Sansa and the Queen, and the Queen finds out that she's been staying with Jane Poole, and the Queen doesn't like this idea at all because, of course, Jane's father has been killed during the whole situation that took place in the throne room. And I'm wondering, why is it that the Queen has an issue with Sansa even being around somebody like Jane?
Well, I think it's, you know, expressed initially when she says, who knows what lies she's been filling her head with. The Queen fears, above all, like, the transmission of knowledge, I guess. It just, she sees people who defy her, or would potentially defy her, as being very dangerous, rightly so. And I think she just has very big plans for Sansa, especially because of what she's going to cause the rest of the Starks to do. At least in the Queen's eyes, she has such big plans for Sansa that she really doesn't want Sansa to lose that, you know, great faith in her. Or to see or hear anything that, you know, causes her to lose focus.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think it always bothered me, this thing that happened with Jane, because essentially, I mean, even more so, I think, than Sansa. I mean, no, not even more so, because she did set everything in motion with her father. But the fact that she sees such a short way ahead that she doesn't realize people are dying, you know, and that her room and her and Jane are safe, that she's just kind of annoyed at her presence. And she essentially, with, you know, a very, very few amount of words, she dooms Jane to this horrible fate, which is either a whorehouse or death. I mean, we don't really know at this point. And I think that it's a terrible power to give to such a small girl who has no idea what she's actually doing with it, you know? And it's very upsetting.
Yeah, and obviously, for those who have read further in the series, Jane, you know, is around for a little while. But, you're right. As far as giving her any sort of choice, what choice do you have? Go to a whorehouse or die?
That's...
Well, which one are you going to choose? If we all had to choose, what would we choose?
Whorehouse.
But here's the thing. It's not... I don't want to die. Don't feel bad, Selena.
Eric's trying to rationalize. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Baelish is like, oh, she'll be looked after. But what does that mean? Like, he's going to whore her out. There's no... It just doesn't... There's no, like, she's going to continue to be educated as a young lady in the ways of a young lady. Like, she's being treated as, like, an enemy non-combatant in a way. But worse, because you're selling her. It's not pleasant. There's no good option for her. Either she dies or is whored out. And I mean, yeah, sure, she gets to live a little bit longer, as you say, Micah. She's around for a little bit. I don't know what that means, but...
Well... Read on, and you shall find out.
I will, Micah. Thank you very much for your encouragement. I will read it for no other reason than to find out what happens to Jane Poole.
It's just amazing to me, and Selena touched on this a little bit, just the level of deception that's going on in this particular chapter. Not just with Cersei, but with Varys, with Grandmeister Pycelle. They're all lying to this young girl about the fact that her father is a traitor, and that he, when referring to Pycelle, heard with his own ears what, you know, King Robert said to Lord Eddard before he passed away, and that now all of a sudden that Robert's dead, Ned is trying to take advantage of the situation. And it's just completely disingenuous, because we all know Ned's character, and it wouldn't be in his character to try and take the throne. If anything, it would seem to me that Sansa would say, well, hold on a second. We've been here. He's trying to send us home. And not once during his entire time in King's Landing has he ever said, yeah, I'd love to take Robert's position. That's really what I'm looking to do.
Yeah. And well, the thing is, like, when the queen tells Sansa, you know, your father wanted to steal the throne, you know, it's a half-truth, right? He wanted to steal it from Joffrey, but not for himself.
Right.
Is the thing, which is why the queen can tell that lie. It's like a lie with some truth in it, right? She wants Sansa to know that, you know, that Joffrey has been targeted, so that she feels some sort of sympathy for the Lannisters. She's just kind of, brainwashing her, really, you know, your father, and all these things that have been, Sansa's like, oh, they must be a mistake, but it's backed up. Like, I just don't know. This is just some very hardcore manipulation.
Yeah.
It's brilliant, though.
How so?
I mean, it's just brilliant. Like, it's just brilliantly done, I think. And I think that Cersei is one of the most fantastic characters in the whole series because of her cold, calculating way of trying to control these people. But underneath, there's just this desperate need to compete, you know, in this man's world. I love her.
Yeah, it's very much a shame that Cersei should meet that untimely end, you know, later on in the series. Isn't that right?
What?
Darn it, she doesn't?
I was like, what?
Is she still around by the fifth book? Because
how does he know that?
I can't handle not. No or not, right? No, I'm just playing at straws here.
Yeah. You're tempting fate,
what was that,
Eric?
That you said?
Huh?
Something about Cersei?
Yeah, her untimely end.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, come on, guys. I can't get anything out of you.
No, you're not gonna get anything out of this.
It's a shame. I had to try.
Maybe a walk of shame.
Yeah,
it is a shame.
This is me walking
shamefully.
But it was interesting to me, though, that you had Cersei at one point telling Ned that he should have taken the throne when he had the opportunity, when he told Jaime to step down. This was a couple chapters earlier, I think, when they were in the Godswood. And yet here she is now saying to his own daughter that, in fact, he is trying to plot to take the throne. So it's just amazing to me how she can twist situations and words and all this other stuff to try and play it in her advantage. And I think now you really start to see the game being played at a completely different level. At least that's what I took out of this situation. When you have somebody like Varys who definitely knows the truth of everything that's going on here, Pycelle might know part of the truth, but not necessarily all of it. And yet they're all kind of catering to Cersei's needs. And, you know, for right now, they're all in her corner. And you wonder, is that going to change at all? And who else is on this person's side or that person's side. So clearly things are about to go down. That's what I'm trying to say.
If you look at how ugly it really is, though, the fact that Cersei is having to manipulate this 13, 14-year-old girl in order to achieve her you know, her ends, it's just kind of sick, you know? It's just very twisted. And here's this girl. She's scared. She just wants to see her father. She's like, maybe if I can see my father, this, that, the other thing. And Cersei's like, girl, we've told you of his crime. You know, we've told you this. If you're as loyal, girlfriend, you would just believe us. And she's not, you know, it just, she's really scaring Sansa about her father. And I hope, you know, in a way, and this is not, I just hope that Sansa realizes at some point in the future that she has caused those events only so she can be smarter about trusting and, you know, to not put herself in the same situation. I think Sansa right now is the least like Ned. You know, perhaps that argument can be made as I just have and supported with more evidence from the books. But I think that she could really be in the future a lot more pragmatic, a lot smarter. And just to kind of, in the way that hell hath no fury like a woman scorned, like Sansa really needs to realize how badly she's being tooled right now.
And you would hope so.
And just really kind of be, you know, somebody's wife who can make a big damn difference, you know, in the future.
And you wonder, though, does Cersei really believe that if these letters are written and Sansa signs them, that the Starks are going to keep the peace? That Catelyn and the Tullys are going to keep the peace, knowing that Ned has been taken captive? Or is it more a formality?
Well, I mean, just have a look at what we'd seen in season two with how the Kingslayer is able to influence Catelyn into making her move by playing on her weakness, you know, for wanting her children all back together. So I think that's what the power is, that in sending these letters, Sansa is being held captive by the Lannisters, essentially, is what I think the other Starks are going to read into it. And Arya, you know, being disappeared, nobody knows, you know, what's become of her. And so I think it's really dangerous time, and the family just wants to come together. And if, you know, coming to King's Landing and bending the knee to the Lannisters is, you know, a way to get them all in the same place, at least.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think it's less that she believes that there's going to be any knee-bending going on. It's more that she's letting Catelyn and Rob know, hey, we have your sister.
And she's doing everything we want.
Right.
You know, because we're masterful bitches.
Right now, because she doesn't know any better.
Yeah.
That's the worst part.
Yeah.
So...
Do you guys have owns?
Oh.
Yes, I do.
That's my notes.
Oh, Selena.
You could give it to Cersei.
I could give it to Cersei. That's true.
I'm just going to give it to, in a way, it's Sansa, but I don't really know if it goes to anybody in particular. It's the last paragraph of the chapter. It says it was not until later that night as she was drifting off to sleep that Sansa realized she had forgotten to ask about her sister.
Oh, I know. That was so chilling. Ooh.
Nice job, Sansa. Way to be the older sister.
I know. It's terrible, isn't it?
Yep.
I can understand why people hate her character.
Well, can understand it. Yeah.
So, Michael, if that's how we pronounce your name, that's what we're giving Sansa shit for, forgetting about Arya. Not once does she ask about Arya.
So there's that. Of course, my own is Cersei, even though it's kind of a reverse own because she sucks so badly. But she just cheers Sansa on at the very, very end. It says, with a smile as warm as the sunrise, Cersei Lannister leaned close and kissed her gently on the cheek. Quote, I knew you would. Joffrey will be so proud when I tell him what courage and good sense you've shown here today. Just master manipulation from Queen Bitch.
It's amazing. I mean, she gets my own as well. I have to. She's just perfect.
And if you have any particular owns from this chapter, be sure to send them in to us. You can do so through Twitter, the Tweety Bird, as we like to call it, or the Raven, or the Crow,
Raven,
or
yes. Send us
any
a raven.
Other flying animal.
Do you think that we could? Do you think that we could be successful if we knocked off Twitter by calling it the Raven, and then instead of tweets, people sent caws?
Caw.
Maybe.
Caw.
Caw. Caw. Caw. I was on Kakotter the other day.
No,
that doesn't have the same ring.
Does it not? No.
Because
I bet they went through, you know, those other animals.
Owls.
Yeah.
Well, they do have Hootsuite for people who use multiple Twitter and other social media accounts with a little owl. So they did kind of bite off it a little bit, but I think Larry the Twitter bird is just too cool. Did you know that he's named after Larry Bird?
No.
I found that out. This little bit of historical information that has absolutely no relevance to Game of Thrones, but we do that from time to time here on this show. But as mentioned, if you have just any owns that you'd like to send in to us, perhaps you had an own in your life that you'd like to share with us, or that person who sent in the tweet last week about the old woman, perhaps you owned her on the bus after she gave you that funny look. But regardless, you can send us your tweets. You can also send us a message or make a nice little post on Facebook at facebook.com/gameofowns. Or visit our website, gameofowns.com, where there is plenty of information, not only about this podcast, but about Game of Thrones news, memes, all other sorts of great information. But there's also another website you can head to find out about this series and many others. Isn't that right, Selena?
There is indeed. The name of this website is hypable.com. That's hypable.com. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Just the name sounds awesome.
I know, right? That's all you need.
That's all you got. So, yeah.
We'll read it tweets and stuff that we've received from you a little later this week. But for now, that's all. Ta-ta. Tweet, tweet. And keep gooey. Yay.
Yay.
I'm Eric Smith.
I'm Selena Wilkin.
And I'm Mikey Tanner.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
See you next week.
Bye.
Time.